Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
51551, your input needed for this conversation, I think, particularly if you use public transport, because Dublin Bus is strongly urging the government to swiftly implement a transport security force. On Friday last, a man holding what appeared to be a weapon threatened a Dublin bus driver in Mountjoy Square in the north inner city, the latest in a number of incidents which has led to the curtailment of some services across the transport network. To discuss this, I'm joined on the line by Blake, or in studio by Blake Boland, spokesperson for Dublin Bus, and on the line by Paul McCall of Fianna Fáil Party Whip and TD for Dublin North West. You're both very welcome indeed to the programme. Blake, may I turn to you first of all. Is it as stark as that? Give us a transport security force now. Is that the call?
Yeah, look, we fully welcome that this is in the programme for government. That's great news. Great progress has been made. The Minister for Transport that's just come in, we're really engaging with the unions as well, with Arngardi Síochána, so all very promising. But what we really want is this to happen as soon as possible. The impetus is there, but we need the action.
Why? Why is it needed?
Antisocial behaviour is an issue on buses. Now, we need to put that into context as well. But last year, we had just over 1,000 reported incidents of antisocial behaviour. Now, there's a gradient in there. Some of those constitute the likes of stone throwing at buses. And then there are some very, very serious issues, such as what one of our drivers went through last week, which is just horrific, and our hearts go out to him.
Yeah, anybody, some would say, dealing with the public will experience nasty, even offensive, really violent incidents. What's routine, though, when you report antisocial behaviour on Dublin Bus, for example? What have drivers grown accustomed to?
There's a number of categories in there. As I said, stone throwing is one. There could be verbal abuse on board. There's a whole host of categories. And unfortunately, drivers are experiencing this. And that's one thing that we really want to stop. And we've put in many measures to try to reduce that. Mm-hmm. And we'd like this to continue on. Our Safer Journeys team has been quite successful so far, and we're looking to expand that. And we'd like to take this a few steps further.
But you're calling for a specific transport security force. Do you think that will make a difference?
It will. Like, visibility alone is one thing, and the Safer Journeys teams that we put in as a pilot there back in October, we've two teams that's been expanded out to three now, and you can see that working. Now, we have anecdotal evidence of that, of course. We're compiling more statistics just to get a better understanding of that. But I think everybody listening would agree that if you have the presence of a security presence, be it on Garda Síochána or whatever that is, that tends to deter people. The cameras that we have on board will help to deter people as well.
Okay, stay with me, Blake. Paul McAuliffe of Fianna Fáil, you're very welcome to the programme. It's in your programme for government, isn't it, this transport security? But we don't have a timeline.
We don't, Cormac, and it's not in there by accident. For the last 3 or 4 years, this is an idea which didn't have widespread agreement on, and I suppose there was a lot of anecdotal reports, and often TDs who have these issues in their constituencies were talking about them locally. But the Dublin Fianna Fáil Parliamentary Party were really frustrated that our calls for Dublin Transport public transport police weren't being adopted either by the Gardaí, by the Department of Transport, or by the Department of Justice. And I think the commitment in the programme for government is a really welcome one. It shows that there's cross-government agreement on it, but we do need an implementation timeline on it. Look, I suppose it depends on what model is agreed, and that is a really important one, because nobody wants some sort of toothless private security service. At the end of last year, Dublin Bus put in place a private security service. It was a stopgap agreed by everybody, the unions and Dublin Bus, and by the Minister of State and the Department of Transport, James Lawless, at the time. What we need is a force with real power. Now, the easy thing to do would be for An Garda Síochána to establish a public transport police within its own divisions, but the commissioner seems reluctant to do that, and I think the government were very clear, and political representatives were very clear, that if the commissioner wouldn't proceed, that then they would legislate for a separate policing force.
So when is that going to happen? If the commissioner doesn't want to do it, and it's up to the commissioner how to allocate resources, so if he's not going to allocate a specific resource for public transport, when are you going to legislate for this?
Yeah, well, my understanding is that the new Minister for Transport met only a number of weeks ago for this public transport working group. Like, our preference would be that that this will be done more quickly within an Garda Síochána for a whole host of reasons, because bus services can be cancelled because of stone throwing that happens outside, which is obviously a policing matter, but there can also be issues on board. And, you know, it would be far better if the one police force was dealing with both. But equally, we're not going to wait here for the independent Garda commissioners. Not at all, actually. And so, as I say, my two colleagues, Jim O'Callaghan and Dara O'Brien, would have been part of that Dublin Parliamentary Party pushing other government colleagues to deliver on this. That's why it's in the programme for government.
Yeah,
and it's why I have confidence that they will deliver it, given that they both now hold those portfolios. Yeah, a big onus on us to deliver it.
Yeah, I understand that, but you still seem to be pushing the Commissioner to change his ways. And nothing has happened, as far as I can see, after the programme for government.
I suppose the likelihood of the Commissioner doing that at this stage, I think, is much less likely. And it looks likely now that the model that will be proceeded will be we will have to legislate for a separate guard. Of course,
okay.
I suppose the frustration with
that is,
well, they should have the full powers of Garda Síochána. I would not be happy to see some sort of lower ranking or less powerful public transport police. It's not what was promised, and it's not what should deliver. Nor would I be happy with a private security force. I don't think the unions would be happy, and I don't think Dublin Bus would be either.
What's your reaction to that, Blake?
Well, the Safer Journeys team has done quite well. Now, they are not a section of An Garda Síochána, of course, but they do have some powers. They have the ability to detain, to remove people from buses, and it is proving effective. But I think we're all agreed really here on where we want to go. The only question really is that timeline.
Yeah, but also there is a disagreement. I mean, Paul McAuliffe is saying it would be better if it was a force with full Garda powers.
Sure, but from our position, we're going to support the government in any way that we can to get this task force, this security task force in there. We have our Safer Journeys teams, but we do want to take that step forward. Now, we can't take those steps ourselves. We can feed into it. We can provide data. We can provide assistance, any type of intelligence, input from our operations team and so on. But unfortunately, we can't make those steps together. We can just support that.
What if you're waiting and your drivers in Dublin Bus are waiting a lot, and the passengers as well? I mean, if there's a rise in antisocial behaviour, it affects everyone. What if you're waiting a year or 2 years for this?
Well, the Safer Journeys team has been expanded. We're up to three teams only in the last week or two, and we're looking to expand that again now. So operating on the north side, the south side, and then another team in the centre. So we're going to continue pushing for that expansion and do whatever we can to make it safer for our drivers, yes, that we've spoken about, but also for our passengers and this very significant number. In fact, 159 million passengers last year that deserve to get to work, to go to a match, whatever it is, yeah, safely.
I don't understand if reticence is the right word, Paul, or the dragging of feet. I don't know if that's the right phrase either. If we have a Safer Journeys team pilot programme working for Dublin Bus already, and Blake is telling us that even the visibility on an anecdotal basis is working, that they have powers to detain and remove people who are causing problems from the bus, why not just go along with that force?
I suppose that is working, but it does have limitations. And I really supported Dublin Bus last year when they kind of took this matter in their own hands and they put in place a budget and the private security force. But everyone accepts, the unions, Dublin Bus and politicians all accept that there are limits to that. And the natural thing would be to have a private, a proper public transport police.
Yeah, the reality there's limits was to that as well. There's limits to that as well. And I'll point them out to you. We had Minister for Justice Jim O'Callaghan the programme last week, and there were questions around the recruitment targets and the Garda numbers that he's proposing, because it's so difficult to recruit Garda.
It is, and it would equally be difficult to recruit a private security force. I would speculate that it's actually far better to attract somebody to a full Garda force rather than a private security force. So my view is that this is a permanent issue that's not going away. That's why we need a permanent solution, not the shorter term but very welcome solution that Dublin Bus have put in place. The key thing here, Cormac, was that only dragging a feet on this issue was it wasn't an agreed item in the last programme for government. And both the Department of Transport and the Department of Justice in the previous government were not behind the idea. in this case, that has changed. It is a programme for government, and we've two ministers that are pushing forward with it. That has to mean that we have delivery, but inevitably, it will take time to legislate, and that's what we want to make sure happens as quickly as possible.
A listener to 51551 says, why not install live CCTV that's monitored live in a control room, along with panic buttons for the driver? And I'm sure a CCTV is probably monitored, Blake, but panic buttons for a driver in Dublin Bus?
They kind of exist already. So the drivers that are in their cab, they do have a button that you're referring to, and that's linked in with central control. Now, the drivers are able to communicate with their operators in central control all the time. That's there.
Instantaneously.
Now, yes. Now, you don't want to distract your driver, so that's used only when it needs to be. But if something urgent happens on a bus, antisocial behaviour that we're talking about here, they can hit that button in central control. Things not shut down, they kind of activate in a sense, but that driver gets priority.
Once a driver on Dublin Bus hits the panic button, what happens?
Well, that's going to depend on the incident, but they have access to, they're talking to a controller straight away who are then liaising with An Garda Síochána Síochána. We're talking about looking at cameras as well. Now, we've got the new buses have 11 onboard cameras, 3 or 4 outside. Some of the older buses don't have quite as many. Mm-hmm. And yes, we do download that footage, and we're supporting An Garda Síochána Síochána in any investigations that
but
we can. But
can a driver say, I've pressed the panic button to an unruly passenger, Gordy are on the way, please stop or remove yourself from the bus?
Well, he will be in touch with central control, who will then do that on his behalf. They have that ability to call whoever they need, depending on the situation.
And how quickly do Gordy come, in your experience?
I would only be giving you an anecdotal answer there. That's going to depend on the location of it, the time of day, and unfortunately there's no way to give you a direct answer on that.
Paul, I mean,
Cormac, in some ways the cameras actually, Cormac, are one of the issues. So there is multiple cameras on a bus, and there is some anecdotal evidence that local safety forums and so on, that sometimes stone throwing is organised to remove buses from an area ahead of a more serious criminal activity because of the CCTV coverage that buses provide. So there's ample CCTV coverage, and I'd say that to your listener. I've been in Broadstone, the CCTV coverage is really top notch on it, particularly on the newer buses. I think what the public transport police would be, it would back up that sort of intelligence that's already being gathered.
So you're saying that criminals organise stone throwing of buses, so the buses are removed from a route, so criminal activity can happen?
I suppose at local policing forums, that sort of report is coming back. And now, obviously, it's all in the realms of speculation. But the additional CCTV coverage on Dublin buses does provide additional support for Gardaí in the area. And if for those buses to be absent, it would obviously remove that additional tool.
Are certain routes more problematic than others, I wonder? I mean, statistically, Blake, could you look at a route and say we've had X amount of reports or complaints or incidents in this route? Why not just target those? I'm sure that's what's being done with the pilot programme.
That is what's being done. Now, there's no such thing as a safe or an unsafe route.
Yeah.
Incidents are happening in different areas, different routes all the time. But that's what we do with the Safer Journeys team. They're also in touch with central control. So if there are incidents, we can send our Safer Journeys team to that location. If we anticipate something possibly going wrong, or if we see a route or an area that might be of an issue in an hour's time or later on that evening, we can send our Safer Journeys team there to try to prevent. And prevention is a great answer for a lot of this. If you can get in there before an incident, prevent it or de-escalate it, that's the ideal situation.
Transport unions, Blake, are hoping to meet senior reps from all transport companies. Has Dublin Bus responded to the letter requesting a meeting, do you know?
They're in constant communication, is my understanding.
On that specific request?
I don't know which specific request you're referring to, but they are definitely in contact.
They say the transport unions that they're hoping to meet senior reps from all transport companies.
Yeah, and my understanding is that meetings will be taking place, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but this is ongoing as well. We're still waiting to get these routes back on Metro Square, where that incident happened. So Dublin Bus Management will be making a decision on that, but in conjunction with An Garda Síochána and the unions when it is safe to do so.
It's Dermot O'Leary from the NBRU was saying specifically that he was requesting a meeting. Not sure if he got a specific response, but you seem amenable to it, or you seem to be saying that Dublin Bus is amenable to it.
Oh, absolutely. And, yeah, and my understanding is that meetings will be taking place.
Isn't it unacceptable, Paul McAuliffe, that we're actually having this conversation at all? And isn't it symptomatic of a greater ill that we've talked in about Dublin City for a long time now, for months in this programme, the need for more visibility in terms of Gardaí on the streets and the rise in antisocial behaviour in the capital. Surely it's unacceptable that this hasn't been stamped out before now.
Yeah, look, it is part of a wider increase in antisocial behaviour. I was sort of very pleased last week actually to have news from Dublin Town, the organisation that represents many Dublin businesses, who acknowledge that the additional Gardaí in the city centre is having an impact on visibility. It's often interesting that in areas where there is issues, the first place that Gardaí go to increase their visibility is onto and off buses in order to be seen more by the public and to give reassurances. So I think all of this is about, there's a lot of agreement in this area. This is a classic example of one of the frustrations that many people in elected politics have at the moment. This is an idea that a lot of people agree with. The system needs to respond now. The two government departments and the legislative implements need to be brought in as soon as possible. This is something that everyone agrees on. We just have to make it happen.
Okay, and that'll be met maybe with bemusement by a lot of the passengers on Dublin bus and public transport, because they will say to you, I'm sure, you are part of the system, Paul McCullough. All of a Fianna Fáil, but I do appreciate that you have frustrations as well as a public representative. So thank you very much indeed, I must say, for joining us on the programme. One final word, Blake?
I think a little bit of context here is very important as well. We carried 159 million passengers last year, and we had just over 1,000 reported incidents. Now, my maths isn't fantastic, but that's 0.006%.
Yeah, it's a good ratio, and an awful lot of people will say, thanks to the driver and so on, so this is not pervasive.
One incident is too much.
However, it's maybe more regular, more common that we would like those of us who take the bus. Thank you very much indeed. Blake Boland from Dublin Bus and Paul McCullough of Fianna Fáil, 51551.